That was a captain of the Dallas police saying the man that they are holding is known locally, a man wearing a black hat.
Is he hurt at all?
Has someone else been wounded, do you know?
What do you look like? You see him, Captain?
Captain, what is it?
He's known locally. They have his gun in there.
According to Captain Cleo Arnett,
with the identification, your press identification, you want to come through the doors you made.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Captain,
Chief Stevenson.
Chief
Stevenson, what can you tell us? This is live.
I can't tell you anything as yet. You were present here, I believe, when it occurred.
Too close.
Yes. I have no further information other than that the man is in custody that did the shooting, and we are starting our work on this angle, of course.
Can you tell us the nature of the wound that Oswald received?
I cannot. I was several feet removed when it happened. I don't know where he was hit as yet. He is en route to the hospital.
Did you see the man pulling a gun?
No, sir, I did not.
Police fellows, let us out of here. They won't let us out. We tell them you said to let us out, and they won't let us out.
I will see about that in just one minute.
Chief, would you tell us as nearly as you can the sequence of events as it happened? Oswald was being brought out.
Yes. If you would excuse me a minute, let me clean this out. I'll be glad to talk with you
right,
as soon
Chief.
As I can get to you.
Appreciate that. You can well understand that the situation now is this. One man is in custody. Oswald has been wounded and is en route to Parkland Hospital where President Kennedy died. As you can well imagine, the events that have happened here in front of our cameras, and I'm sure some of you have seen them and still do not believe them. We are not going to have a replay of this. All right, now by videotape, you will see again the dramatic events as Lee Oswald was being transferred to an armored car for transportation to Dallas County Jail. Here is that videotape.
That is filmed as him being shot. Period.
So, we're going to jump right back to you for a recap after the playback of the shooting.
Then what do I do?
This is on our page.
John McClellan. John, stay with me.
What?
Stay with me, everyone. Did you see it?
No.
No. So here we are again, where it is so quiet now. Could you tell me, officer, you're a detective. Are you a detective with Dallas
Police? Yes, I am.
You were standing right there, weren't you?
I was trying to get the press out of the way so we could get to the car. That's the reason I couldn't see what took place.
Yes. Now the matter of pulling together eyewitnesses and people, those of us who were literally here and watching, are not sure of what we saw, except we do know this, that Lee Oswald has been taken to Parkland Hospital in an ambulance. The ambulance was delayed because of the armored car. The armored car, which was to have taken him to Dallas County Jail. Police tell us that they have one man in custody, a man who is known locally, and we'll try to pick up some of this conversation.
That first thing, one of those may come and back up here.
You want them to come on?
Well, McGee's got him over there.
Camera, because I helped hold that camera as he started off. It went into the crowd over there. The camera never was hooked up. And this man came from behind this camera or from this corner and just dove out of the crowd.
He came from behind that car, that green car there. He jumped up over the rail.
Did he?
Yeah.
Where he come from?
Yeah. I saw the gun here.
All that information out.
Each of you, including Lieutenant Swain, get with him to let him talk to the chief or Captain Fritz.
Get some men.
There you have heard some of the reports of Dallas detectives as to how this man happened to get at Oswald. He was apparently sitting in a car directly behind our cameras, leaped out of the car over a rail at Oswald, pointing a revolver at his stomach, pulled the trigger. Oswald grabbed his stomach, slumped over to the ground, saying what sounded like a rather loud moan.
Is he in this building, Oswald?
Yes, gone to the hospital.
And what about the man who has been caught? Is he in this building?
He is in custody here.
I see.
Chief, can you tell us what you know now about the man that you do have in custody?
Personally, I don't know anything about him. I merely know his name, and that's all I know.
What can you tell us about the nature of Oswald's wounds?
I don't even know that. I don't know where the man was struck with the bullet. I won't know until we hear from the hospital.
All right, Captain, can you give us any report now on...
No further report right at this time.
This is live from the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Absolutely unbelievable, incredible. Lee Oswald, the man charged with assassinating the President of the United States himself before our very eyes, was shot by a man who leaped out of that green car down there, apparently, over the rail, into the crowd, through the reporters, directly at Oswald, who was standing just about right here where I am. It happened so fast, no one really knows what happened, but here we have a further report.
Now then, thus far, is the man upstairs in the cell?
As far as I know, he's either in the jail or at Captain Fritz's office. I imagine he would probably be in jail.
Do you know this subject? You know him? Have you seen him before?
Yes, I do.
Is he from Dallas?
Yes.
I
couldn't tell you. I
know you can't release the name now, but do you know what kind of business he happens to be in?
Bob, I wouldn't want to say.
Right.
Did he have to be disarmed or did he give up?
We had to disarm him.
Did he struggle?
As much as he could, yes, but
did he
was...
Did he say anything?
The struggle.
He was mumbling. I couldn't hear. I couldn't understand what he did say.
Did Oswald say anything?
No, Oswald didn't.
What?
No.
Did he have a pistol?
Yes. You know what kind of pistol he was carrying?
No, Bob, I never saw the pistol itself. Some other, I think, Officer Grace had got the gun immediately after he fired the shot.
Officer,
he was in civilian clothes.
Yes.
Did he try to get away?
No, he was immediately subdued by the officer.
Well, he wouldn't have had a chance to get away.
How many shots were fired?
Just one shot.
Did you see? Oswald, do you remember when he came out?
I didn't pay too much attention.
Did you know the man? Did you see the man before?
Yes, he did.
Sir, you saw his face?
Yes, sir.
And you knew him?
Yes, sir.
Pat, he is a resident of Dallas.
Yes, sir. And that's all I want to say about the man of science.
This is Officer P.T. Dean of the Dallas Police Department.
It looks like that about just about 3 feet away. Or how far would you say the shot was fired?
Well, I couldn't tell. I couldn't see Oswald when the shot was fired. I immediately turned. I was waiting at the armored car to ride with the suspect to the county jail. As soon as the shot was fired, I came immediately down the ramp to assist the officers.
Officer, do you know this man personally that's in custody?
Yes, yes.
In the line of duty or in another way?
Sir, I wouldn't want to say.
But he is known to you as a police officer?
As a police officer?
That is, you as a police officer know him, is that correct?
Yes.
Was he connected in any way with this?
I don't know.
Had you seen him here in the building before the shot was fired?
No, sir.
Pat, could you outline briefly some of the security precautions that were taken immediately before this happened?
Yes, sir. We thoroughly searched the basement. We had searched even the cars up on top of the pipes and things that a person might conceal himself. There was about 15 to 20 men that had searched this place prior to 30 minutes. In fact, searched it twice, about an hour before and then 30 minutes before.
How many officers did you have outside, approximately, would you say?
About 20, uniformed officers.
Outside the building, and they are armed with riot guns, pistols, and all kinds of
warhawks.
Yes, sir, some few of them are.
Did you notice this guy before in here?
No, sir.
You hadn't?
Today, no, sir.
Not today. Is there anything else that you possibly might tell us about him, Pat? I know that at the present time you're bound and can't say very much, but you have said that he is from Dallas and that you do know this subject and have seen him before.
Yes, sir, I do know him.
Is there anything that you could say about him further than the fact that he is a resident of Dallas, the man who shot Oswald, to shed some more light on?
Well, Bob, that would be all I'd want to say, really.
I'm sure that's the case. Now, at present, what in the way of release is going on inside? How soon do you think we're going to be able to know who this man is?
Well, the information would have to come from Captain Fritz's office.
Now, Captain Fritz came out of this door just a few steps ahead of Oswald. Do you know where he is at present?
No, sir, I don't.
Can you give us
some indication of why these security precautions have been taken? Were there
merely
some threatening phone calls during the night that there might be some effort to take Oswald's
life? I couldn't answer that. I don't know.
Had you heard
this
that?
This is merely a precautionary measure. The case as it is, it was felt that there had to be a security foreign.
There were extreme precautions regarding the armored car.
Yes, sir.
Now, how, officer, would it be possible for someone to have slipped in into this car over here with the elaborate security precautions that had
sir,
been taken?
Sir, I can't answer. I do know the man. I would have known him on sight. If I'd seen him and noticed him, I would have ejected him. That's merely not because of him himself, but there was no one that was supposed to be in here but the press and the officers.
Now, why is it that, what is it that you know about this man?
Sir, I wouldn't want to elaborate on my knowing.
Patrolman, I wonder if you...
This, then, is the situation at this hour as we can reconstruct it. Just about 20 minutes ago, standing right here, Lee Oswald was shot by a man known to at least one Dallas police officer, P.T. Dean. The man apparently, according to the accounts of other detectives who were here, came out of a green vehicle parked beyond our camera range in the police garage here at Dallas Police Headquarters, leaped over a railing through the reporters who had been cordoned off on that side. And again, according to people who were closer than I, the man came through the group of reporters to Oswald, who was being transported just about in this position. And just at that moment, the gunshot was fired. And it sounded as if an automobile had backfired, or someone had thrown a cherry bomb or a firecracker or something of that sort. Oswald clasped his stomach like this and moaned. And then, of course, there was absolute pandemonium as detectives and police officers moved in to take into custody this man, so far unidentified, so far apparently being questioned upstairs by Dallas Homicide Captain Will Fritz, who incidentally is the man who has been in charge of the interrogation of Oswald as the accused killer of President Kennedy.
We heard Tom Pettit describe the shooting of Oswald. We heard Tom Pettit later tell us that Oswald was being put into an ambulance. We saw the ambulance leaving the jail area and head for Parkland Hospital. Now the activity is transferred to Parkland Hospital in Dallas. Standing by there for a report, let's switch to Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital.
Here at Parkland Hospital, assassin Lee Oswald has just been brought to the emergency room by a screaming ambulance and an escort of police cruisers with their sirens going. We had just been in the press room at Parkland for an interview with Mrs. John Connolly, who had made a statement when we heard the word that he had been shot. All the reporters rushed around to the emergency entrance room at Parkland just as Oswald was brought up. As the ambulance backed up to the unloading dock, the reporters shoved towards the back of the ambulance. Police had to fight to keep them away from the back. The door was opened. Oswald was pushed out on the stretcher. His shirt was rolled halfway up his stomach to his chest. As I saw his face, it was gray and ashen. He did not look good at all. His condition has not been stated yet. He is in emergency here at Parkland Hospital. He has not been moved to any operating room as far as I know. At this time, he is still in emergency. He is completely closed off. Reporters are not permitted in the back. They are working on him right now.
That is a report from Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital. I understand that also standing by in Dallas is Tom Perryman, a reporter for WFAA, who has been right on top of this case, too. I believe we do have an identification of the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald. And I'm going to give you one line of report on that now. And I think before I give you that line, I'm going to switch directly to Tom Perryman at the Dallas Police Station.
This is Tom Perryman at Dallas Police Headquarters. The man who did the shooting is identified by police as a Jack Ruby, owner of two Dallas strip clubs. As was reported, Oswald was shot in the upper stomach with a snub-nosed revolver. Police, like a sack, were on Ruby. He has been taken into questioning. Tom Perryman at Dallas Police Headquarters.
That was Tom Perryman at Dallas Police Headquarters identifying the man who just a few minutes ago shot and seriously wounded, apparently seriously wounded, we don't actually know the extent of the wound, shot and wounded Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who is accused of assassinating President Kennedy. Tom Pettit of NBC News was at the scene when this event took place. He was actually on the air on television at the time that the man was shot. Television viewers actually saw this small man, described as a small elderly man, leap forward through the crowd, place a revolver in Oswald's stomach, and pull the trigger. They actually saw two, the police officers who were attending Oswald, leap on this man, take him into custody. They wrestled him to the ground, and then they started trying to move him back, the assailant of Oswald, back into the office from whence Oswald came. And we're going to be back with more of this report after a moment.
Jim, I might say that we are now going to replay a recording of the events as they happened. Here is the recording.
There is the president.
There is Lee Oswald.
He's been shot. He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's the man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot. Pandemonium has broken loose.
That was an actual replay of the shooting of Lee Oswald. That was a radio recording that was made at the scene. You actually heard the gun that was fired, and you heard the comments of the reporter at the scene after that shot was fired. A very great deal has happened since that moment. We've seen the and heard the wild scene in the basement of the city hall as they were trying to move Lee Harvey Oswald from the city jail to the county jail. We know that Lee Harvey Oswald was shot in the stomach. He was rushed to Parkland Hospital. We heard from Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital in Dallas that Oswald had been moved to the emergency room there. He was undergoing emergency surgery of some sort. It was ironic that our reporter, Roger Reddy, was at the hospital to get a report there on the condition of Texas Governor Connally, who was wounded at the time that President Kennedy was shot and killed by the man who they believe the man who has been wounded now. To recap the situation, after that shot was fired that you heard, and after the announcer talked about it, immediately a wild scene developed in the basement of City Hall. At one point, detectives and police officers, trying to get the wounded turncoat back into the booking office, jammed themselves in the doorway and could not move. Police Chief Jesse Curry said he was preparing a statement. We heard Curry briefly talking, describing what was happening and what had happened. At first, Police Chief Curry said that he knew the man but could not identify him. We have had an identification of the man that shot Oswald. Police Lieutenant George Butler has identified the man that did the shooting as Jack Ruby, a Dallas nightclub owner.
Jim, I think that one of the things that may be extremely interesting about this was what Tom Pettit elicited from that police sergeant. When he said that it was a little bit unclear, but he said that he knew this man and that had he seen him, he would not have allowed that man to come inside. Well, of course, this would be the case for anybody who was not authorized to be there, except for reporters and policemen. But one wonders if there are implications about this particular man and police knowledge of him that might have led to the statement by the sergeant that he would not have allowed him. If there seemed to be an emphasis.
Yes, I agree with you, Joe. In fact, it was the way in which the police sergeant made that statement. He said, had I seen him, I would have ejected him. He said specifically, I would have ejected. In other words, to put it in the vernacular, he would have thrown him out because apparently he did regard him as more than a usual security risk. Of course, you make the point that any unauthorized person would have been thrown out. But it was interesting, too, the reaction of the reporters who were there at the scene, and there were a great many reporters in that crowded basement at City Hall as they were moving Oswald out. And all of them said that they didn't know this man, and I heard one reporter ask another one, was he one of us? Going back to Oswald himself, as he was brought out by the police officers, he was walking quietly between them. He was dressed in a pair of black trousers, a tan shirt, and a black sweater. After the shot sounded and we heard the shot, he made no great sound. He fell to the floor, clutching his side below the rib cage, and his slight assailant was immediately leaped upon by police officers and wrestled back into the back room. This elderly man, described as an elderly man wearing a gray suit, man known as Jack Ruby, a Dallas nightclub owner. It was not actually known immediately how or why he happened to be present in the basement, but eyewitnesses said they saw him leap over a railing from behind a green car that was parked outside of the police, the City Hall basement, and leap over a barricade, and we saw him actually rush up and place the gun directly into Oswald's stomach and then fire the shot. And then again, our view was obscured by the police officers and by the, and to say pandemonium, I think, would be understating the case, because it was complete confusion there for a very short time, actually. But our reporter, Tom Pettit, on the scene, I think, did a masterful job, which we heard, of pulling together this thing and getting from the eyewitnesses the story of what had happened, who did the shooting, and what happened from that moment on, from the time that they took Oswald back into a back room while they were waiting for an ambulance to carry him back out again. They then carried Oswald out of the back room on a stretcher, and Tom Pettit at that time said that Oswald looked very quiet and very gray as this stretcher was being placed in the ambulance. They then had some trouble actually moving the ambulance out of the basement area behind City Hall because of an armored car that was parked in the way. There was some little time elapsed between the time that they placed the ambulance in the armored car and then allowed the ambulance placed the stretcher in the ambulance and then moved the armored car out of the way to allow the ambulance to proceed to Parkland Hospital in Dallas. At this moment, we know not a great deal more about the condition of Lee Harvey Oswald. We have heard from Roger Reddy that let me ask a direct question, because it's a little difficult at this time.
I think we better bring Roger Reddy back in. Roger Reddy is at Parkland Hospital again, and we switch to him.
Lee Oswald is in the major surgery section of the emergency division of Parkland Hospital. He has been wheeled into trauma room number 2 at this moment, which is within 10 feet of where President Kennedy was brought to the hospital on Friday. The police have cordoned off the long corridor leading to that trauma room. The reporters and other onlookers and officials have been held back. The pandemonium that was extant when he was first brought in has subdued somewhat. A spokesman for Governor Connolly said that they did not want any knowledge at this point of the fact to get to Governor Connolly. They don't want him to get near him in any way. They are keeping news and as much of the information away from Governor and Mrs. Connolly as possible. They expect that he will be moved depending on his condition, which is still to be determined. The spokesmen at the hospital have not given us this yet. It is due to come out shortly.
That is a report from Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. We were just talking about him, and he was ready there to give us that further report. It is really ironic that as all these events are taking place, really staggering events are taking place in Dallas, the place where President Kennedy was shot to death on Friday, just 48 hours ago, right at this moment in our nation's capital, the procession is moving from the White House to the Capitol, carrying the body of President Kennedy from his first resting place in the east wing of the White House to the Capitol itself. We are not ready to go to Washington at this time for a report on that. These developments are coming so fast and are of such staggering proportions that it is almost difficult to determine where to move next to bring you the most complete story we can on the developments of this day. I think that at the moment, all of us are still interested in what has happened in Dallas. We don't know. We know the identification of the man who shot Lee Harvey Oswald. We know him as an elderly nightclub owner named Jack Ruby. We have had no further report on why he, as an individual, should have taken it upon himself to attempt to take the life of the man who killed President Kennedy. I believe that I heard Tom Pettit say that the man, as he stepped up to Oswald, said, "Are you the guy or are you the man who shot the president?" That was the only quotation that I heard directly from the man who shot Oswald. And shortly after that, the shot was fired, which you have heard, and then the pandemonium broke loose in the basement of City Hall where Lee Harvey Oswald was shot.
We're still waiting for confirmation of that line, too, from Tom on the scene and from others. The irony piles upon irony in this situation. Dallas was worried, we were told, about its image, despite the fact that it is a conservative town, and this man who did the shooting, Oswald, allegedly did the shooting, reportedly did the shooting of the president, was supposed to be a communist sympathizer, and so admitted. We find today, last night and today, that they were worried about their image there. Well, what does this do for the Dallas image, too?
Well, I think, Joe, that despite the nature of these dramatic events in Dallas, I think that really the basic interest is in Washington, where our great president is being honored now. And let's switch to Robert McCormick in Washington.
The funeral cortege for the president is forming up now in the north portico of the White House, and we will join our reporter, Herbert Kaplow, who is already on the scene.
The coffin bearing President Kennedy is still inside of the White House. Will be taken out and placed on a caisson in just a few minutes. The caisson has been drawn up in front of the North Portico at the head of the semicircular highway, driveway, drawn, as is customary, by seven matched gray horses, six of them with riders from the 3rd Infantry Regiment Honor Guard. The caisson in stark black, only the hubcaps gold on the two large wheels drawing the carriage. President and Mrs. Johnson, both in the somber black of the occasion, arrived here at 20 minutes of 1 Washington time, walked up the 5 steps of the raised portico and entered through the glassed-in vestibule, which is draped in the morning black. Just a few moments ago, the late President Kennedy's brother-in-law, Sergeant Shriver, stepped into the glassed-in vestibule immediately in front of the entrance, looked around, and has now stepped back into the executive mansion. Through the columns bordering the portico, we can see thousands of people gathered on the wide 6-lane Pennsylvania Avenue stretching in front of this side of the White House. They're standing under a bright sun. The temperature, however, a chilly 50 to 55 degrees in the sun, waiting quietly, relatively little movement. On the portico, the stretch of marble leading between the doorway and the top of the steps is flanked by 8 enlisted men, 2 from the Air Force, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Coast Guard. And standing up off to one side, each one on a descending step, the Chiefs of Staff.
I'm going to interrupt. I'm sorry, Robert McCormick. I think because of the urgency of the situation, we want to switch for a condition report on Lee Harvey Oswald. Switch to Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
Here at Parkland Hospital, a spokesman, Peter Geilich, assistant administrator at Parkland, says that Lee Oswald has now been taken from emergency room, trauma room number 2, to surgery at Parkland on the 2nd floor of the building. The condition report is that he is very, very serious. Unofficially, Mr. Geilich said that he looked critical. He was in very bad condition. He was unconscious. He was shot once below the heart on the left side. in the upper left chest. He is currently in shock. As we said, he is being moved now to surgery on the second floor of Parkland Hospital.
That was a condition report from Roger Reddy at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. We interrupted Herbert Kaplow's report on the procession moving from the White House to the Capitol, and let us go back now to Washington.
A horrible, tragic series of events. The body is to be taken on the caisson, 1.8 miles to the Capitol, where the public can view it today, where tomorrow it will be returned to the White House, but just momentarily, and then taken to St. Matthew's Cathedral for the final church rites, as Mrs. Kennedy, Attorney General Kennedy, many of the world leaders, the national leaders, will follow it on foot about the mile to the cathedral. And after the service is there, ending about 1 o'clock Washington time, Eastern Standard Time, a motor procession will follow the hearse bearing the remains of President Kennedy to Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River in Arlington, Virginia. Many of the people bordering the curved driveway are the wives and children of people who work here at the White House. People in various jobs. Limousines are drawn up to one side. They will file in behind the caisson after the casket is placed aboard the caisson. There are seven horses which draw the caisson, which is the normal complement for hooking up the horses to a heavy field piece carriage. One of the horses bears no rider. This is the belief, going back to primitive times, that the horse ridden by the fallen leader,